It's another episode of the KPI Cafe. I'm so glad that you could join me, host Dane Seville, and diving into some more topics that are going to be affecting, are affecting your dealership. Today, we're going to talk about video. As of 2018, adults have been consuming nearly 6 hours of video per day. So often, the prevalence and access through mobile phones has made it easy to engage with all types of video. It's clearly a preferred means of communication, of learning. So we want to make sure that your dealership has a good strategy, a good approach, and partners with the right people to implement a video strategy. So if you haven't yet, if you're not using video for your sales and service departments, I'm telling you, with today's conversation, you're going to understand all of the value that you can get out of it. I have learned the value of video through the KPI Cafe, which is now, you know, this podcast you're listening to. I still post two poignant clips of the interviews to sort of highlight. Finding a sort of a sweet spot for how long the videos need to be. And that's what we're going to discuss. We're going to talk about how to launch a video strategy, what types of videos to launch with, to implement, who should be involved, how you measure success, what the video actually does. I mean, think for even just video marketing, from, you know, the year 2018, you know, WordStream does a lot of different statistical analyses. It does a lot of studies. You know, 2018, 82% of Twitter users watch video content on Twitter. YouTube has over 1 billion users. 45% of people watch more than an hour on Facebook or YouTube. 500 million hours of videos are watched on YouTube each day. More video content is uploaded in 30 days than the major U.S. television networks have created in 30 years. 87% of online marketers use video content. One third of online activities spent watching video. 85% of the U.S. internet audiences watches videos online. It's important. And the thing is, it's still trending upwards. It's still not, I mean, it hasn't reached its peak. This is a means of communication that more and more and more people are doing and are comfortable with. So with that context set up is how I would like to introduce Stephanie Singletary of CoVideo and Steve Ressler of DriveCentric to talk to us today about the power and strategy of video. Welcome back to another KPI Cafe, a video series. And guess what? That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today, is how to use video for your dealership. And I have two great people that I would like to introduce. First of all, Stephanie Singletary, 5.5 years with CoVideo. Background I saw in behavioral sciences. So how did you go from behavioral sciences to working at CoVideo with dealers?
Well, I mean, you need a background in human behavior to work with dealers. Just kidding. So I was teaching, and then I had a daughter and was not teaching for a while. And I had done some contract on-camera work for CoVideo back 2010, 2012, creating canned videos that went into dealers' autoresponders that went out. And then when Jason Price, our CEO, was ready to start building an outbound team at CoVideo, he reached out to me and he was like, I need somebody who's comfortable on camera, who knows dealers, which I do because I grew up in a family where my dad is the founder of an F&I company. So I grew up all around dealers. So he asked me to come on board to help build that outbound process, which I did, and then quickly moved into a full-time sales role from there.
Fantastic. Talking the talk and walking the walk. Family background in it. I love it. Steve Ressler needs no introduction, of course. Steve, you came from a medical background. How did you wind up with DriveCentric working with car dealers?
Yeah, no kidding. I got to be having a lot of medicine to be in the car industry, right? Right, Stephanie? Come on, behavioral. Look at that. I mean, I was medical 16 years, but I was a CRM guy, diehard. CRM has grown every industry that I've ever been in. It's my third startup. And when my buddy showed me the CRM and it had fully integrated video and all the things you need to do to communicate with your customers, that was the only reason why I left the medical industry. I just saw that this was an opportunity to sell a CRM in other areas, but we're not doing that. We're sticking in the car industry because I have a full appreciation now of everything the CRM integrates with. But with video, I thought if I could do video globally, I would get my name out there more. And video to me was the reason why I actually got into the auto industry, given it all in the CRM. It just made sense.
Awesome. Fantastic. And I want to do like an outline decal of your, like your head, your hair and stuff. That'd be like a cool, like branding yourself.
Well, gee, yeah, I just got my hair cut last night, man. My wife's a hipster. So yeah, it's Jimmy Neutron in the flesh. Awesome. Whereas my wife will call it, she calls it a loaf on my head.
And she puts it there.
Well, Steve, thanks for helping coordinate all this. And Stephanie, thanks for your time today. So let's just kind of just dive right into it. You both have now been working with companies that Covideo, it's video, but both with companies that work with video. So, I mean, I'm sure you've seen a progression of adoption greater and greater as dealers adopt even digital marketing practices at a greater and greater rate and clip and more investment. What do you think has traditionally kept dealers from really fully investing in video? Like what do you think has been the obstacle or the challenge to get them to leverage this method? And that can be for either one of you.
Oh, we both have an answer probably. First, Stephanie, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. That's a great question, Dane. I think, you know, what we hear a lot is, you know, we've had these guys in the business, they've been in the business 20, 30 years, they don't even like using email. How am I going to get them to use technology like making video? That's a big objection we hear a lot, is just kind of, you know, old dogs, new tricks, not so easy to cultivate that, you know, action around that. You know, for us, it's, you know, sometimes they'll say it's price, sometimes they'll say it's budget, but I think the truth is they're afraid that they won't get buy-in and they'll be spending money on another tool that their team just won't use.
Okay.
Yeah. Steve? No, I mean, that's very fair. Everything Stephanie is saying, but you know, I'll just add on a couple little extra points here it's exactly right. It's just really about getting people comfortable showing themselves on camera. One of the things that I always love to teach is, look, if the people are comfortable talking to the customer in the showroom, the video is an extension of your showroom. So what we need to really just think about is if you're comfortable talking to people right there, that's all it is. You know, this isn't what people have to think about is a personalized video is not a professional video. You're not going to Hollywood, okay, unless you're Dane. All right. This is all about one-to-one communication. This is all about just giving the customer a good experience, about knowing the fact that, you know, Dane over there, Stephanie, is a person on the other line versus that email template that Stephanie was, you know, alluding to, but it's not even going to be a personalized typed up email because these guys can't spell. And that's why I always tell everybody is the best part about video is there's no spell check.
Yeah, and to piggyback on that, Steve, I think that, you know, what you said about it being not, you know, Hollywood is really important. The idea that this is organic communication, it's human to human. And what it does for us now that so much of the car buying experience is online and the battle for business is online, is it gives dealers a way to humanize the digital experience. Because as much as everybody loves to shop from home on their cell phone, from their couch, from their kitchen table, wherever it may be, they still want to be dealing with people. And the ability to cultivate relationship and trust prior to the customer coming into the building is always going to be hugely important in earning their business.
Great. I love humanize the digital experience. I love that line. And that always makes me think about when dealers on their websites put like they've been 30 years family owned. It's like, that doesn't really tell me anything about you. I don't know why video or other methods aren't leveraged for like an about us to really tell this story of who they are. Because a lot of dealers, as you guys both know, working with dealers, do a lot of great things for their community and not experience, you know, you don't really learn anything by it just being family owned and operated for 30 years. Like that doesn't mean anything to the consumer.
Yeah. Right. No, totally.
So, Stephanie, you had mentioned talking about canned video, and then to what degree should there be canned video versus, like, we also said the word personalized. I know canned can feel like have a feel of personalization, but like to what degree do you have canned video that you sent out versus producing new, more personalized content, like where you say the consumer's name, or like what's a balance here of a repository of video?
That's a great question. I mean, in a dream world of video best practices, every video would be personalized for the customer, every single one. What we know though is that while that's possible in some environments, some dealerships, in others, it's just not. Sometimes the volume is too high or the staff is too low. And that's when we start to strategize around quote unquote canned video, right? If you've got 2,200 leads coming in a month that are being fielded by four BDC reps, there's not enough time in a day for each of them to make a personalized video for each of those leads. And so that's when we start to talk about, well, how can we leverage canned video? It's not going to get the same impact as individualized video, but it'll get you about 70 to 75% there, which is a lot better than not having video at all. So we look at, you know, as much as possible, let's talk about that individualized, personalized one-to-one video. When that's not possible for whatever reason, that's when we start to talk about leveraging the canned or generic content.
Awesome. Steve, yeah. You do a lot of video out there. You're going out and teaching people, you know, getting them acclimated, seems like, to being on camera. So what's your approach to your recommendations on video, leveraging video? Is it?
Well, I think it all depends. Every dealership's a little bit different. You know, there's going to be some guys that you're just never going to teach an old dog new tricks. Let's be real. So if I can get him to do at least a video intro, maybe it's a thank you video, maybe it's a birthday video, maybe it's an anniversary video. Those are the ones that I think, you know, could be good that are canned. I mean, you know, again, it's an internet lead. I would tell you that I would always, you know, try to incorporate, because those internet leads, let's face it, they are important. And I think the more that people can say the person's first name is better than not. But I think what both Stephanie and I will definitely always agree upon is video, any video is better than no video from a production perspective and producing results. But I just think that if I can say, hey, Stephanie, or hey, Dane, there's way more value to that, because they know potentially as video becomes stronger and stronger in the world, you know, people kind of know if it's a canned video. I mean, I give the example of, and Stephanie, you can appreciate this, because if I was going out there and getting married again, okay, but I'm not married right now, but let's just say I was getting married again, I would want to go out there and produce labels, typed labels versus handwriting labels, all right, for my wedding. But I'll still fill out probably like 300 of these. But, you know, my wife will tell me that a handwritten, like, envelope is better. I have no data to prove that, but I think it was much easier still if we would have done labels. But that's how I'm giving a correlation or maybe an analogy to what is a personalized experience versus a canned experience, so to speak. I know it's kind of rudimentary, but, I mean, it's something that just came off the top of my head right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's great. I've been reading a book called The Charisma Myth, and they talk at length about using people's first names because they like to hear their own name. People just inherently like to hear their own name and be referred to in a human way, and not just like, hey, you, like, thanks for, you know, whatever the video might be.
What you have to do though is just kind of think of if there's a, you know, some canned situations that you can leverage a canned video and be more productive if that's the type of person. But I think the more that somebody can think, man, the more personal this is. Like, you know, I would hate to see a canned video, and this is what I always get scared to death on. I'm in St. Louis, Missouri. Somebody has a canned video outside, it's sunshine, but then all of a sudden they keep that canned video when there's snow on the ground. Like what, you know, and they don't change it. That's where I would get worried, because, you know, obviously if it's raining outside and you're like, where are you at in St. Louis? Pouring rain out here. Somebody will put two and two together.
Yeah. So this question is sort of out of sync with what I thought I was going to add when I thought I would ask it, but since it just kind of came up like this. So, and there's a reason, let me get to where I'm going with this. So we're talking about personalizing. Now, video can be leveraged through multiple channels, correct?
Yes.
So if you're using canned video, is there a different like mode of communication that could then be best leveraged to then personalize? So for example, like if it's a canned video, could you email it and then you type in their name, or you do something else to personalize it so that way it's still, there's still that level of organic feel that they're reaching out to you specifically?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I think that you want to do that anytime you use Canned Video. For example, if you're sending through the CRM and you're sending through an email template and you've got the Canned Video living in that template for that lead response or the thank you or appointment confirmation, whatever it may be, you still want to use it like you would any other email where the greeting is, addressed to the recipient. So it's an email to them. Sometimes, you know, with CoVideo, we have a text overlay feature. So even if you're using a Canned Video, you can go in really quickly and type in like, hi, Dane, welcome to CoVideo or welcome to the dealership right over it. So that even though you're using canned content and not spending the time to make a fresh video, you are personalizing the video itself in a small way. Okay. And they'll see that when they open the email.
Great. I want to talk about it because I think there might be the misconception that it's just like you're filming a video and then you just send it from your phone to them. It's just, you know.
Well, the one
there's
thing,
so many different ways to do this.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to point out, and like, so when we go out there in Secret Shop stores, I was Secret Shop in a store here, and this is literally the video that was sent to me. All right. So this is part of what we're talking about. So if you're sending a mode of text communication, that right there, that is the first text that came to me. So it'll always come as a hyperlink to the customer. And, you know, I wouldn't open up that link. So that's where I think what we need to do is understand, like, if there is a mode of communication, if we're going to send a text, they ought to be saying, hey, this is Steve. I'm sending you a video. Be on the lookout. And then the hyperlink. What, you know, with text messaging and what we need to make sure we educate salespeople on is if you are not a known entity on the phone, it's always going to come over as a hyperlink. That is a functionality of CoVideo. That is a function of JarCentric. That's a function of any other video tool. And that includes YouTube. So if I send a YouTube video, it's going to say HTTP, YouTube / whatever. Until I build Dane or Stephanie up as an entity on my phone. So you got to be clear as far as expectations to your customers so they will watch the video from whatever tool that they're using.
And to add to that, with the link, it's not even a function of CoVideo or DriveCentric. It's a function of the security settings on the device. So on an iPhone, if you're a known contact, you will get a link preview.
Correct.
On an Android, you never will. It doesn't matter if you're a known contact or not. So when we're talking with our customers and creating strategy and skill set around this, if you are sending a text, whether it's from your phone or from the CRM's texting platform, there's got to be qualifying text in there because no one's going to click on a blind link. But if instead it says, hey, Dane, it's Stephanie. I created a quick introduction video for you. Please click on the link below so that we can meet each other. They're more likely to go ahead and click on it because it doesn't look spammy.
Yep. Fantastic. So all types of different types of video, whether it's a thank you, maybe in service, it's here's what's going on with your car. We want to, you know, there's this other thing that might need to get done, a repair that needs to be done. We want to show you it. So there's all different types of videos that people can leverage. So with a dealer who's just now going, okay, I want to invest in this. I see the value in it. Where do they start in ramping up a video strategy? Is it in every department? Do you test it in a single department? Like, how do you ramp up a video strategy?
We usually recommend starting with the hand raisers. There are always a few in a dealership who are ready to adopt something new, who are willing to try something that will make them more money or help them do better business, connect with their customers better. So our general advice is start with your hand raisers because it's a lot easier. You can always grow your service. You can always grow your practice. You can always grow your strategy. But if you don't have buy-in from the beginning, it's really, really tough uphill battle. So we always recommend starting with your hand raisers, wherever that may be. So if you've got two in the BDC and one on the floor and two in service, great. Start with those five people. We'll train them based on their department and the strategy for their department. And the other thing that's important, besides having people who are willing and ready to do it, is to not fully turn their process upside down. So we always take a really close look at what they're already doing. And instead of saying, hey, stop doing what you're doing, do this now. We say, okay, this is what you're doing. We don't want to reinvent the wheel. We just want to make it shinier and better for you. So we look at the process and we say, here's how we recommend you plug video into what you're already doing. And then what happens, because if there's one thing that's true of all people in the automotive space, is there is a competitive trait in these folks. So So once we get the people who are bought in, who are ready to go, who are using it, and they make it part of their daily routine, their sales religion, if you will, and they start making more money, then the other people who were reluctant to get started with this or uncomfortable about being on video or not loving technology are like, hey, wait a minute, I want to make that money too. And that competitive spark is what edges it along to turn into something more global as an initiative in the dealership.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then on our side, you know, like with video, I mean, everything that Stephanie is saying, it's kind of what we're going out there doing, because, you know, one of the things is, you know, having it in the CRM gives a distinct advantage. And so we do have business rules. So a lot of times what we do is we'll ask the dealership, like, look, where do you want video? Just because you're getting video doesn't mean that everybody, to Stephanie's point, is going to do video. So we almost say, like, do you want to do things like a confirmation appointment video? Do you want to do a delivery video? Do you want to do, obviously, an internet lead where everybody gets a video? So you got to set aside, ways of doing it. And really, that's how we have to work with the managers to make sure, hey, if we do this, you better have your team do it and enforce it. So, I mean, we do have metrics, and those are all things that's obviously very good for the dealership to hold their people accountable. But at the end of the day, you know, I know Stephanie has got metrics in there from Covidio with service, but just what we see on the sales side, because we can track the metrics on it, you know, if just our regular forms of communication, let's just say they're closing at 10%. With video, we're seeing stores go between 5% and 10% more in sales with videos. And I think, you know, to Stephanie, what she was saying there is, not everybody's going to do videos. We know the guys that have been there 20, 30 years, they're never going to do video. They're going to be the guys that have their own set of guidelines at the dealership. What the dealership needs to focus on is the people that are in the middle of the pack, the guys that are selling 10 cars. How can I get my 10 car guys to 15 car guys? That's what the dealerships need to focus on. That's the meat and potatoes that you're going to be taking on to get your dealership to the next level. And those are the guys that are competitive, like what Stephanie is saying, it's my opinion, or even the people that are just starting to say, man, this is technology, I'm going to leverage it.
Awesome. You know, every touch point is important in the customer journey. And I wouldn't say, like, on the digital marketing side, I wouldn't say don't do this or don't do this strategy, because there's a tactic and a strategy for every sort of channel and platform, right? So I'm setting up like this because I want to ask this question, Steve. What videos, based on what you're seeing, what are feedback from dealers, what videos do you think are like sort of like the most important? Like what are the ones that have the most impact for the salesperson, do you think?
You know, for the salesperson, it's going to be the confirmation appointment video. I think if we're going to go out there and schedule an appointment, I think one of the things we just did was a case study with the Capital Auto Group up in Salem, Oregon. And we just actually did a, this published case study that we are putting out there, and we're doing more diving into more data with this. But one of the things and the metrics that they covered was, they say every time the BDC schedules an appointment, the sales guy goes out there, shoots a video. They tracked it for 3 months, and it was in the low 80 percentiles that the customer showed up. So if you just kind of think about right now, if I schedule an appointment, what's my converted rate for a customer to show up? What can we do to make sure that customer shows up? And a lot of times, make sure that the car is there is a big part of that. And so that, to me, is one of the most important things we can do. If I was on the BDC side, I'd want to do an internet lead video and introduce myself, and keeping the videos short and sweet to 30 seconds. But there's all these other videos in between you can do. And that's what we're trying to, again, I know with Covidio, DriveCentric, we're all going out there to try to educate and get more noise out there about getting people to want to do more video.
Great. And Stephanie, they say sales sells the first car and service sells the rest and fosters that relationship. From what you're seeing with Covidio, what sort of same sort of question about the service side, what sort of videos do you think have the most impact for the service department at a dealership?
So the ones that have the most impact are the ones that help build trust, right? The automotive industry is a tough one to get to build trust with the customer, right? For whatever reason, left over from the 50s, the 60s. It's a tough business to build that relationship. So the videos that build trust are the ones that keep customers coming back to the service side. So we talk about a whole range of videos in this realm. But in terms of value, we look at you know, good news videos and not so good news videos. So when the customer comes in and their car is being checked, it's their standard 15,000 mile, let's say, they get inspected, they get their oil change. It's really nice for the advisor to send a video that says, "Hey, Mrs. Jones, you know, just finished up your 40-point inspection, your oil change, your vehicle's looking absolutely perfect here at the 15,000 mile mark. Did want to let you know when you come in at 20,000 miles, we will likely be ready for a brake pad change and possibly two new tires. The budgeting for that's approximately $3,000. So just over the next 3 to 6 months, as you drive your next 5,000 miles, keep that in mind that we're going to want to budget for that." So that, you know, we're being really transparent on the service side. Everything looks great now. I don't want there to be any surprises that are unnecessary. This is what you can expect next time you come in, provided nothing else happens. The other thing is being able to, you know, leverage mobile video to be able to actually go into the drive and show the customer recommended repairs. When they can see it, they can believe it. They can, you can show them a healthy brake pad versus an unhealthy brake pad. You can show them a clean rotor versus one that's got a crack in it. And you can really show them the why. This is, and explain to them why. This is why this is important for your vehicle. We want you to be safe. So these kind of very transparent, open, informative videos are the ones that yield a lot in terms of that customer retention on the service side. When we utilize video for, as we were talking about before we started the recording, for CSI follow-up on the service side, we see an additional 35 to 40% participation rate in CSI, which means big dollars for our dealerships. So in terms of your initial question of retention, those videos that really communicate transparently around the needs or lack of needs for the vehicle are the ones that get the most mileage in terms of profitability. Same, the ones that explain the recommended repairs that make it easier for the customer to say yes, and then being able to leverage video for CSI follow-up.
Great. And it, so you were talking earlier about the CRM and the advisor filming this video. Like, is it always the advisors? Like, I mean, we want a human, like you said earlier, humanize the experience. Is it always the advisor? Do you sometimes get the, like the technician or the service director? Like, are there opportunities besides the advisor to engage with customers?
Absolutely. It's totally up to the dealership and what works for them, right? I know some service directors don't feel comfortable with their techs being customer facing. Others feel really strongly that it should be their techs because their techs really know what they're talking about at a different level than the advisors do. So again, it's never a one size fits all solution, Dane. It's all about learning about the dealership, learning about their personnel, and then helping them find the way that's going to work best for them based on their process and their people.
Awesome. Steve, on the sort of sales side of it, is it always just the salesperson? Or are there other opportunities to engage other members of the dealership too?
Well, no, I always say it's not just a one person thing. It's a store. It's a culture. And everybody should be doing it. Managers could be doing it. Managers could be saying, "Thank you very much for taking the time to come into my showroom today. And, you know, there wasn't, maybe we couldn't make out a deal today." I mean, there's every point in the dealership, in my opinion, everybody should be shooting video. That is not just a BDC thing. I know it's always like a one and done, right? It's like BDCs are doing an internet lead video. Then typically salespeople, and Stephanie kind of knows this because it's always adopted on the BDC and internet side. So it's got to adapt over in the sales side and thanking a customer for coming in the showroom, whatever it may be. But I think that's what people have to identify is, hey, these are opportunities to be sending videos. One of the things that I started doing is created a YouTube channel on DriveCentric, and I've got about 10 video ideas up there where I've interviewed salespeople. I've got 3 months left to go in a lease video. You got somebody who didn't show up to the appointment video. I mean, there's all these different ways of sending a video, and there's a tutorial on why we want to do that video. So, you know, I always am a big fan of like not just salespeople, but even service. That's why it's great to have Stephanie here, what they're doing on the service side. Because video should be everywhere in the dealership because of literally the transparency and more importantly, the experience is what translates to dollars. That's what people are paying for is that experience.
Yeah,
that's right. Everyone wants to feel cared for. And I think sometimes what we lose sight of in the dealerships is it's not just about selling a 2,000-pound piece of machinery. It's about helping a human make an investment that's really important to them, that is not an easy decision for them. They're putting a lot of money in one place to meet a need that they have, to meet a want that they have. And they want to be treated in a way that reflects that. So, you know, part of humanizing the experience is also kind of welcoming them into your environment as a guest, and not just someone you're trying to hawk your wares to. And video gives a good opportunity to put forth that impression and that energy around, I'm really here to take care of you. I want to understand what it is you're looking for, what your life looks like, and what vehicle I can best help you get in that's going to meet those needs in a meaningful way.
Great. Fantastic. Now, Stephanie, on the service side, what impact does video have for service customers, for dealerships servicing customers? What are you seeing in terms of the KPIs and the results that are happening?
So there are a number of ways to look at it, right? I know I've got some dealerships who are using it on the front end. They've replaced their RO check-in clipboard diagram with a 360-degree walk-around of the vehicle. This is saving dealerships a lot of dollars because the customer at the end of the day, when they come and say, hey, that dent, that ding, that scratch wasn't there when I got here this morning, you're going to need to fix it for free. The dealer can say, hey, I'm really sorry you hadn't noticed it before, but actually you can see on the video here, it was here when you came in this morning. So it's saving dollars there. Again, you know, when we're using it for selling service in the drive, explaining recommended repairs on midline vehicle dollars, we see an average increase of $100 per RO. You know, when we get into more highline, you can just multiply it. You know, I was talking with a Porsche dealer recently. I was like, well, on a Toyota, the average is $100 increase per RO. But if you're talking in Porsche dollars, go ahead and do that multiplication in your head. So it's drives profit in terms of RO profitability. You know, again, like I said before, when we're using it for CSI follow-up, we're getting a 35 to 40% increase in participation, which is huge from the perspective of how the manufacturers are bonusing out the dealers. So those are great in terms of getting our folks back in the dealership. You know, like Steve was saying, we can use these for appointment reminders, or, you know, our records indicate your vehicle is due for service, or even if they've declined repairs, to come back 90 days later and say, hey, I know last time you were here, you declined this repair. It's probably time to look at it again. Again, for your safety. So that, you know, we're bringing people back in, we're holding their attention, and, you know, but those are the places where we're going to really see profitability from video, is in, you know, the CSI participation and the selling of service in the drive.
You know, one of the things I just want to point out, it was just when you were saying on something on the service side, Stephanie, it kind of hit me. Dane, I know you travel a lot, Stephanie, you may be traveling, but when I rented a car before COVID, because I haven't been out traveling before COVID, so this is a dating a little bit, but I rented a car from Hertz, and one of the things they did was they did a walk around video. I believe it was a video. They could have been taking pictures, but I want to say they did a video just to show what the car looked like before I rented it. So just think about that. I mean, because right now people want to do phone recordings and things of that nature. I mean, just think about how power video could be to protect the dealership. If a customer came in with their car and you do a walk around video, this is what your car looked like before it came in, and you got proof of it afterwards. I mean, that's powerful. It's just powerful when you sit there and think about it from that perspective.
Absolutely. I remember the days of travel and renting cars. Feels like it's been a decade, but
I know. It's like, man, what was it like to rent a car?
So Steve, you're out in the dealership, you're training salespeople, you know, and in digital marketing, here's the complication. Attribution is always a pain in the ass, right? So here's the thing, like car dealers, like at the end of the day, they just want to sell more cars, right? But if they don't have the right process in place, it's like our digital marketing efforts can send, you know, 20 form submissions, a bunch of chats, a bunch of phone calls. We're like, on our end, it's working. Your end, there might be something broken, right? And I know dealers don't like to hear that, but sometimes that is the case. So, Steve, when you have trained these salespeople and they're using DriveCentric and they're doing these videos, how do you measure effectiveness? How are you saying, look, like the video is working?
Yeah, no, that's perfect. Actually, it's kind of where we're going. So what I'm starting to do when we convert stores over to DriveCentric, you know, most of the time I always ask every dealership, are you doing the task to do the task? Or in mode. And many stores are. So they're going to say, I do my 100 phone calls and 50 emails a day. And I will tell you, it's just so 1980 or 90 maybe. But let's just say 90. But the whole idea is most people don't really communicate to email. I'm not going to do a Super Bowl party and e-blast all my friends. That's just not the way it works. So I always talk about the modern forms of communication are texting, video, and then use a tool of artificial intelligence to help get engagement. So, I mean, so we're obviously talking about video on this, but video is a major form of communication in our communication style, because again, what we're trying to do is if the customers aren't coming into the store, they have to realize what is the opportunity with video. Because when I send an email, even when I send a text with no emojis, it's only 7% of what I communicate. And I guarantee when I talk to a manager about this, they'll sit there and say, well, I want them on the phone. Okay, well, great. You add tone. They add 38%. So if I get my customer on the phone, I'm talking at 45%, 38% plus 7% is 45%. But now I want them in the showroom, so it's 55%. So when we're talking about training, it's about doing the right activity. So just because I send a video that is, let's say, in an email or a text message to what Stephanie and I were both saying is you got to alert the customer and point to the activity you want them to do. So if it was my store, I mean, my template is, did you get my video? My text message, did you get my video? What did you think? So that's all I'm doing is I'm communicating through video. So it's like the customer's in the showroom. It is a one-way form of communication, but there's no misinterpretation of my genuineness. There's no misinformation about my tone that I'm using, that I really care about what I'm trying to do. Because the customer can't hear that in an email. And they may not see that on a phone call. So that's what we have to think about when it comes to training. We want to try to enforce the right activity. And video is the right activity to get that customer into the showroom.
Absolutely. And with that, it's really important to note just the percentages in general. People are likely to read an email 20% of the time. They're likely to watch a video 80% of the time. So when you can put video into your email responses, number one, you're differentiating yourself from all of the other dealerships that they've sent inquiries into in their inbox. It looks different. It's going to draw their attention to your email, and it's going to do it in a way that they're 60% more likely to engage with. So right now, especially during coronavirus, it's really important because people are not wanting to go do their usual, I'm going to visit 2 to 4 stores and drive 2 to 4 cars. The battle for business is online. And so all of your first impressions, your handshake, all of those things have to happen digitally. And we've got to humanize them to make them meaningful for the customer. So right now, most customers are only visiting one store, which means they've done 95% of their process online. So having the video, having that humanization there is really important, and it is a best practice. It's necessary if you want to stay, you know, in line with your competition at this point.
Yeah. And the one thing that I'll just also point out, and I mean, this is where video is kind of going. I mean, video is just the future. So we actually just implemented live rooms where you could do now streaming a video inside the CRM. So if I go out to a dealership and they're like, well, I want to do this live rooms. I'm like, you guys aren't even doing video. It's going to fail. So you got to start building the culture of doing personalized videos or even canned videos if something's better than nothing to get to that next level. I mean, people are, you know, struggling just doing personalized video, and the customer doesn't even want to come to the dealership. Those dealerships are going to struggle because other dealerships are going to be highly more competitive and take those customers away because they're going to beat them to a better shopping experience. That's what's going to wind up happening.
Awesome. Now, one of these final questions I kind of wanted to address, because it used to be on digital marketing side, you know, content marketing used to be write as much as you possibly can, you know, to be visible. And then it was, you know, now it's like address user intent. And then what I've noticed with this KPI Cafe, I take a long episode and I break it up into like 4 to 6 minute chunks or 8 minute chunks. When I look at the analytics, I go, well, you know what? 4 minutes is like the sweet spot. Like if I go longer, they still stay engaged, but like 4 to 5 minutes is the sweet spot. I know there's all types of video, like, you know, showing a advisor, whoever, showing what's wrong with the vehicle is naturally going to be longer than a thank you for your business video. But are there any sort of parameters or anything that shows a correlation between duration and engagement, or is it just so variable that you don't, there's not really a standard?
Yeah, I can answer that just from a different level of communication. And then, Steph, if you want to jump in, see what you're
talking
about this. But, you know, the way I kind of look at it is, look, at this day and age, we have all sorts of methods of communication. You got phone, text, email, video, obviously a Facebook Messenger, you got LinkedIn, you got all these different methods, right? So I'm always talking about communicate on the customer's terms. So the first video that I would ever recommend is to send a 30-second video or less for the attention span. And what I'm basically looking at is, did the customer, number one, open up the video, and did they click on my video? Because that's information we can leverage at the store. Because if I send, like, why would I send five videos to a customer I won't even open up the first one? That's a waste of my time. It's no difference. Just like we're making all these phone calls and nobody's picking up, but yet we still continue to make these phone calls. So you have to engage the customer on their terms. So I would say to anybody who's shooting video, have that first one be a nice little teaser video, 20 to 30 seconds long. And if they open up, they click on it multiple times, that's a customer that will watch videos. So you continue to send videos as a need basis. And I always say is, what's a video versus what's an email? And sometimes, like when I'm talking price, I always send a video. If I'm talking about showing the car, obviously I'm going to do that through video and address the customer's concern with the trunk. Or if it's service A, this broken rotor and things of that nature. That's the transparency we got to be able to show. But there's, but also, if they're texting, stay on the text. If they're emailing, stay on email. So, I mean, that's, there you go, Steph. I'll just leave it up to you to see what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. You've got to meet the customer where they are. And stay with that. And yeah, I don't have anything to add. I mean, Steve, I think that hit the nail on the head.
Oh, woo! First time for everything. Look at that.
That's it. We got it. We got to end it right there.
Oh man,
Stephanie, if anyone wants to reach out to find out more about Covideo, how should they go about it?
Well, they can reach me at Stephanie@Covideo.com. So Stephanie at Covideo, Covideo.com. That's the easiest way. And I'll get back to them with a video right away.
Sounds good. Yeah, with the video, I like it. Steve, same thing. If they want to learn more about DriveCentric, what should they do?
Well, you can go to my Facebook, go to my LinkedIn, and I don't do email, so just text me. 314-803-4334. It's out there public. It's on restroom doors. Just go ahead and use it. But hey, the one thing I will say, and while Stephanie's on here, I am working on a project, and I'll throw this out there for anybody because it could be for anything. I'm working on a project called Video Gaga. So one of the things I'm going to be doing is rating videos. So if you're out there and you're watching this video and you're wanting to get better with video, the whole idea is for me to watch videos, critique videos, and have everybody get better with doing video in a fun, educational way. It's better than going video blah, blah, right, Stephanie?
For sure. We don't want any blahs in our video.
Oh, blah,
no
blah.
Blahs, yeah. No, don't want any blahs there. Stephanie, Steve, thanks so much for carving out some time today for the KPI Cafe. I really appreciate it.
Thank you,
Dane.
All right, and I will see you all next time.
Next time.